Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to an FDP speciale.
You love engineering like that now, don't you? Speciale.
Yeah. You okay? I've got a Fiorentina shirt on, mate, so it has to be speciale, doesn't it?
AFC crew for the win.
AFC crew for the win. How are they doing?
We lost a semi-final in a cup at the weekend, but we are top of the league and it looks nailed on for promotion.
Well, that is buzzing. Good. Buzzing. That is really good. Yeah, I bet you are really buzzing for that, actually.
Yeah, very buzzing, mate. Very buzzing.
Imagine. Are you ready for this next FDP special?
I am, mate. I am. You introing? Give us a little shout out.
Yes, I am, apparently, yes. So we have got not Tony Stark, but Tony Sharkey. Yeah, I was doing a bit of research and I accidentally clicked Tony Stark. Nice. So yeah, that's on me. So football agent and founder of the Football Transfer Forum. So we'll get into a bit more about what it's like to be part of all of that. I've had an agent on before, but this one seems a bit different. It's a bit more experience. He's been in the game for a long, long time, so he's probably seen the way that it sort of changed over the years. So it will certainly be interesting to get that perspective from them. And yeah, just in general, just to see how things are now, how things are shaping up, and what the transfer forum is all about as well.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I think it'll be really interesting to see what sort of things, if there's any sort of common things that come up in people's contracts, what's the sort of deal breakers. Maybe some inside stories of one or two people, hopefully, you never know. Be interesting to see.
Yeah, I concur.
You concur. Right, shall we get him in?
Let's do it, mate. So yeah, we've got Tony with us now. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm really good. Yeah, I'm up in Newcastle. It's, you know, standard day. We haven't seen, apparently there's an eclipse coming over, but I'm not sure that's going to be in the next half an hour.
Yeah. Well, we won't keep too long, so you can hopefully get out and see that. I don't know if we're going to see it down here, are we? I'm not sure. I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
I saw it was sort of more of Central America that's going to get that. I don't think we're anywhere exotic like that.
I don't know. Newcastle's very similar.
Newcastle's very exotic. It's very exotic. A night out in Newcastle can be exotic. honestly.
Yes, I have been for a night out in Newcastle, yeah.
Of course you have. It's the it'll have been a stag do, no doubt.
Ooh, no, I was away for work, actually.
Oh, really?
I was away for work, right. Yeah. Okay. We had a couple of drinks on the Friday night, and, yeah, you can't just have a couple of drinks in Newcastle, can you?
No, not really. Not if you're doing it properly, I suppose.
No. Are you a Newcastle fan?
No, I support Leeds United for my sins. And
okay.
So I was born, I brought up in Middlesbrough, and at the time, Middlesbrough never got into cup finals, so me and my brother used to pick a cup final side, and this goes back to 1971, which sort of ages me a bit. But he picked Arsenal, I picked Leeds, so I had the bragging rights over him that year, and I was happy. And then the next year, it was Sunderland, so he had Sunderland, and I just stuck with Leeds ever since that point.
Interesting.
And the story actually goes a bit further, because when I was 16, I left school and joined Leeds United, trying to become a professional footballer. So that's my team I supported, and that's the team I failed at.
I was going to ask how did you get on?
Yeah, I went down from about 13, 14 to Leeds, like in the holidays, Easter and the Christmas and pre-season. And then when I left school, I was on the old apprenticeship where you had to clean the boots. And one of the things that was really great was Alan Clark was the manager at the time I was there. And he was the hero from the 71 Cup final scoring against Arsenal. So he was my sort of boyhood hero. I got a year's pro, and Eddie Gray released me when I was 19. So I was like, I didn't have any, you know, I went through school thinking I was going to be a footballer, and that was my only career plan. You know, when I met the careers teacher, it was a very short meeting, you know, so it's like, that's my plan, and that's what I was sticking to. And so all the rest of it is just sort of, yeah, I'll do that because I'm like a failed footballer.
Yeah, that must be gutty. You often hear, don't you, of sort of former pros and you know, youngsters, and you've seen plenty of films like it that talk about what it's like to feel that rejection after being released.
Well, it's massive in the industry, and, you know, I meet a lot of people who have been released as well, and people want to share their stories, and, you know, it can be earth shattering for young men, particularly. I know we've got women playing football now, but just through the amount of time I've been in the business, you know, I work with some people who, one of them was the next best thing at Man United and didn't quite work. I was never going to be the next best thing, but I might have made a living out of it. But yeah, and obviously mental health's a big issue in football these days. And, you know, just being told that some whatever age it is, and now the kids can be, you know, from 8 to 19, 20 in a club and making all the friends. It's sort of their identity. It wasn't so much my identity at the time, but it's sort of their identity. They are the footballer in the family. They're the one everyone talks about, you know, if that's all pulled away, it's a massive, massive, you know, massive thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was when you was 19, was it? You was told. And
yeah.
And so you stuck with football, haven't you? That's not, that wasn't the end for you in terms of that.
Yeah. Well, I went back to Middlesbrough and did a couple of A levels at night school. And then I did a PE degree. My mum had been a teacher, and she sort of said, "Oh, you'd make a good teacher." I never wanted to be a PE teacher. I just didn't know what else there was out there.
Yeah.
And I did the degree. I probably was one of the worst students in that university group. But I enjoyed the football at uni. I was sort of still hankering. You sort of, there's a couple of years where you still think you've got a chance. And I was playing at a decent level in non-league, and I was quite fit at the time. And I sort of thought I might have a half a chance of getting back in to some professional club. And then I did my cruciate, which sort of killed all that hope. And it might have been only a small chance, but it sort of knocked that small chance out of the question totally. And then once I'd done my PE degree, I did sports development for local authorities up in Middlesbrough and in Durham. And then probably around about 30, I just thought, I'm not really happy with this. I want to work in football. This agent thing sounds good. Yeah. It sounds like something I could potentially do. So I probably spent about a year and a half trying to research it. There wasn't much information out there. You know, nowadays agents are pretty, everyone knows about agency and agents, and they see it in the press. Back then it was a very, very, very niche thing. There was very few people doing it and there was no information about it. And I sort of leaned on a few contacts I had in football. They sort of pointed me in the right direction. I had a couple of meetings with, you know, people in clubs. There was another agent actually who my brother had played football with, who was looking after Andy Carroll at the time. And he was a little bit of a mentor. Peter Harrison's his name. He helped me, you know, in my first few years, if you like. And look, I've been an agent now since, well, it'd be 2002 when I did the agent's exam and passed it. So it's been, what's it now, 22 years.
Wow. Blimey. That's a long old career, isn't it? Are you enjoying it? Is it a good job?
Yeah. Enjoying, definitely, definitely. Yeah. It's not always a good job. You know, obviously agents have some sort of bad reputation.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. Which I know you're smiling, but it's like we're the fall guys, really. We are quite easy to blame in the football industry. So I'd rather take responsibility if something goes wrong than the player have to take responsibility. You know, it's better that it's my fault, nothing to do with the player. And the clubs, if a deal doesn't go the way they want it, it's the agent's fault as well. So we're sort of a bit like the pantomime villains. But, you know, I've, from my work and the people that I've worked with, you know, agents are very much part of the football ecosystem. There's no getting away from it. You know, and that's because players, usually the vast majority of players want an agent.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of players do need an agent, because I didn't have an agent when I was 19. You know, they put a contract in front of me, and my dad, who was working at the docks in Middlesbrough, he hadn't a clue what he was looking at. We just went, yeah. We weren't really bothered about the money, to be honest. So we just sort of went, yeah, crack on. Just sneak the plug in. So there's no agents. But the other thing was, after I left Leeds, nobody helped me. There was no sort of support from the club. It was just like, right, you're finished. See you later. On to the next one. And I got a trial at Darlington. A local scout got me a trial at Darlington, which, you know, an agent is there when you're getting released. An agent should support and help you try and find the next thing, whether that's in professional football or non-league football or whatever, or university or education or whatever it is. But I went to Darlington, and they were in the fourth division, the equivalent at the time. Did well. Played a game, did well, got me for another week, did well. And then the manager called me into his office and he said, all right, we're going to offer you a deal. How does £70 a week sound, right? I mean, these are all silly figures, early 80s. It doesn't make any difference, the figures. But I'd been on £100 a week at Leeds, right? Mm-hmm. And so I said, oh, look, thanks for the offer, but I'll wait for something better to come along. And the punchline is, I'm still waiting.
Yeah.
But if I'd have had an agent then, at least the agent would have gone, right, take it, get yourself back in the game, playing professionally, full-time training, and see if you can come back, see if you can get up to that level that you were at before. So I'm, you know, I do some agent training courses. I've been doing them for about six or seven or eight years. And I'm very, I want people to understand what agents actually do. It's not just turning up and signing a contract or negotiating a contract. there's more to it than that, and there's a lot of strands, you know, in terms of how you interact with your players, how you liaise with the club. You know, you're finding them their next potential move, or you find them a move if the club wants them out the club. You find them a loan deal. I call it the sort of critical moments. So, you know, you'll have your first professional contract, a critical moment, or being released, mm-hmm. your first big injury, your first loan, your first move away from home, potentially, your first big transfer. So all of those things are critical moments. And if it was you and your family, they've never experienced it. So everything would be, you know, if they were advising you, they'd be doing it for the first time and they wouldn't really know, oh, what's it mean going on loan? What type of loan is it? You know, what's it actually mean? And how does that work? But all sorts of things. So having an agent who's been there and done it and understands how the football business ecosystem works is really, really important. And that's why I say players usually want or need an agent. It was interesting because people talk about Kevin De Bruyne's last contract. He didn't use an agent, for example. Have you heard that?
Yes.
So it's interesting, that one, because one, he's in a very good negotiating position because he's one of the best footballers in the world and the planet. Man City desperately want to keep him. He's got a template of what he was on before of his previous contract. And he's also got two Belgian lawyers who pull through everything and do the negotiation for him. So, yes, he didn't need an agent, but if he was moving clubs, he might have needed an agent. If he was, you know, so minded to move, then potentially an agent could have done some work for him. But, and also, you know, he's an intelligent guy and he's an experienced pro. He might think, hey, let's set up an agency when I retire. That's not a bad, you know, call.
Is that a common thing to happen then, if they're just renewing at a club? Is that what you've sort of found over your years as well?
No. I haven't found that. The players, when they're renewing, you would do it. I would be doing the renegotiation. I'd be renewing the contract. That's a bit of an outlier with Kevin De Bruyne. I don't know what the relationship was with his agent who brought him to City. And look, he's had some ups and downs in his career, hasn't he? No, you know, there's not very many players. Like, I sort of call it the sort of Gary Neville. Like, was there ups and downs, really? No, it just all sort of went up, didn't it? And stayed at one club.
Yeah.
But they're very less than 1%, less than 0.5%.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting. In terms of contract clauses, is there anything that's quite sort of popular, or is there anything that's like it has to be there no matter what kind of thing? Any sort of clauses?
I mean, are you talking about look, the most important things are the term of the contract, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, how long is the player going to be contracted for? The basic salary, how much is he going to be contracted? You know, how much is he going to get paid per week? And it's per week all the time in England.
Yeah.
If you deal with foreign players, which I have, and foreign agents who I've worked with as well, they just tell you what it is net that the player wants to earn over a year in euros or whatever the currency that they're operating in. But in English money, it's pounds per week. Obviously, those are the two key things, but there's loads and loads of other things that you can put into a contract, and most players will get appearance money as well, bonuses. But for example, if you sign a 2-year contract with a championship club, if a player signs a 2-year contract, it might be in the first year you get promoted to the Premier League.
Okay.
So what happens then with the basic salary and all the other things? It might be that the club want to talk to you about what happens if we get relegated and they end up in, you know, the League One. So that all of those sort of things have got to be thought through, discussed and negotiated. And they're all points for negotiation, really. The thing probably I've probably not done much of is the, you know, the release clauses and the big clauses where you pay X and the player's allowed to move for a stipulated amount of money, which a relatively new thing. Usually just the top players. It's come from Spain, really. In a lot of Spanish clubs, they automatically put a release clause in.
Yeah.
In the contract, and usually it's well over market rate to protect themselves, yeah, sort of thing.
Yeah, didn't Messi have a billion euro or something, wasn't it? Oh, release clause at one stage. And
I don't know. I wouldn't like to speculate. And the other thing to say is, any figures that you read in the newspaper about players' contracts or transfers, they're always best case scenarios. They're always, if we win the Champions League and this player's won the Ballon d'Or, his salary's there. If the transfer fee is sell-ons and add-ons, and you know, if you win the Premier League and if you win the Champions League, you'll get an extra payment on a transfer fee, you know, and they'll always be the top figure. So take them with a pinch of salt too.
Yeah. Oh, it's fascinating that you were saying that you're there to kind of broker that deal, but also there as like the support as well, to sort of coach them through a deal, or if they've been rejected, to coach them through into the next period of their life.
Yeah, I wouldn't say coach. I'd say mentoring a little
Mentor.
Bit. Mentoring, yeah, mentoring a bit. You know, look, if it's an old experienced player, I mean, I always have the thing about, let's say a player's a free agent this summer and there's a couple of clubs interested. Well, we'll have a discussion about which club I think, I'll tell the player which club I think he should join and why. And, you know, the money obviously comes into it, but not all the time. It could be geography for the player. He might want to live at home or where his family is. But I'll always give my advice. But in the end, it's the player that decides. And you know, I probably get more calls from young players than experienced players, because young players have that, you know, the everything's new to them. They're all doing it for the first time. You know, why am I going out on loan? Is it because the club don't want me, or is the club developing me, or what's happening in that scenario? Have I had enough game time? Why am I not getting game time? So that young players have all these questions. And they sort of need somebody who's objective and independent. And look, when I go, I tend to try and watch a player once a month, one of my players, for example. I'll give feedback. I'll talk to them and say, I liked it when you did that. I didn't like this so much. What happened in that scenario? And talk them through it. And just, you know, feedback on their general game. Now, not all agents do that. I feel like I've got enough experience and enough of an idea about the football what it actually looks like. Because the other thing is, clubs, after a game, clubs can't give 18 players feedback. It's really difficult to do it. They will give some feedback, and and clubs are getting better and better at that type of thing. But individual feedback, where also players are sort of thinking, is this objective feedback, or are you saying stuff that has a bit, it's your, the club-driven sort of feedback. Do you see what I mean? Whereas I would be talking, you know, I want the player to have the best career that they can have. And I'm going to say, look, if you need to work on whatever it is, get stronger, you know, work on your crossing, work on your right foot, work on your heading, whatever it is.
Sure.
And usually, you know, when I'm meeting a young player for the first or second time, I'll talk about what your strengths and weaknesses, tell us what you're good at. I mean, I'll have an idea what they're good at, but you tell me what they're good at. And if they know that, I think that's good for the player to know. And most players do. They just don't really want to admit it sometimes, you know. But in a sort of like, if you have got a good relationship with the player, then they might say, you know, I know I need to work on this. And then what do you do about it? Go and see the fitness coach, go and see the strength and conditioning guy, see if you can, you know, put some extra time in the gym at the end of it. It's down to you. But if you want it enough, then you'll push through everything that you need to push through to get there.
It's fascinating to hear kind of the things that you're doing, because like you said, you know, you do hear that agents get a bad rap, you know, almost greedy like, and it's not like that at all, for, you know, certainly from your sort of case. What, I don't know if you're allowed to name any names, but what sort of level is it that you, that kind of the players that you're representing?
Well, now I'm less of an agent than I've ever been. Actually, we'll talk about.
We'll get
onto the football transfer forum. But I've done deals for players at the very top level in the Premier League, in the Championship, in League One, in League Two, abroad. I've done a couple of deals abroad, in Scotland. So I've had a good number of players across the spectrum, and you know, it doesn't the higher they are up, probably the less work they actually need. You know, some players. I had a player whose English wasn't his first language. He'd been in this country a while, and he sort of needed more practical help. You know, where do I go to get a car? Can I get a boot deal? Can I do this?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My accountant helped him out as well, looking at, you know, his finances and things like that. So, you know, I'm not a financial advisor, but if a player needs that, you know, I can point them in the right direction and make sure that they're talking to the right people, not anybody else.
Yeah. So, sorry, I was going to come on now. So you've got the football transfer forums. That's what you've been doing for the last few years, isn't it? Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah. So in 2017, myself and my business, I had an idea to do an event, really. And I've got to put a big shout out to Ryan McKnight, who's been sort of my business partner in this and the agent training that I do as well.
Okay.
So we've both been to a lot of football events. I won't name the events, but we've been to a lot of events. I always use them for networking and learning. And I sort of wanted to create a niche event that was just for people involved in football transfers, scouting and recruitment. So it was getting together the sporting directors, the agents, some sports lawyers as well, in a room so they can meet each other, they can build relationships, talk about transfers, potentially talk about players. But also what was very important to me was to get some really top level speakers and sharing of knowledge. And those speakers, to be honest, that's been my favorite part of the Football Transfer Forum. Some of the speakers that we've had, and the content, and I think people come to the football. It started in 2017 at Middlesbrough because that's my hometown. Mm-hmm. I then went to Leeds United, which was it was funny actually, because the two rooms in the East Stand, there was two big suites. One was the Eddie Gray suite, and one was the Lee Sharp suite. And so I chose the Eddie Gray suite, who released me at least. So it was sort of a bittersweet moment. It was actually a bittersweet moment.
Wow.
But we booked the Lee Sharp one as well for the event, because the event got quite big at Leeds on that day. And when we had one of my sort of friends in the industry, Dan Ashworth, he spoke at the Leeds event. Dan actually went to the same PE college as me, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Right.
So I've sort of known him for... He was due to speak at my last event at Newcastle United, but he was called to a meeting in Saudi Arabia before that. A couple of weeks before the event. But that's football, because, you know, football people, you know, their job's the first thing. You know, if they're doing talks and doing different events, that's a secondary thing. So we totally get that. And obviously you'll have seen Dan in the news recently. Yeah. But, you know, we've had some really good speakers, Adrian Bevington. I mean, I could list them, and I'm bound to, I'll try and list. There's been maybe, I don't know, 30, 40 speakers. So, oh, wow. But generally sporting directors or people with an interesting... I tell you one that really did stick out for me, Brian McDermott spoke at Newcastle.
Oh, okay.
If you ever get the chance to hear Brian McDermott speak, he is fantastic. And look, we've got a YouTube channel for Football Transfer Forum, and George Whitehouse, who does the social media, puts some of our content on that platform. But Brian is an excellent speaker, and he really opened up to the room and spoke about his struggles and things that have affected him over the years in football. And like, if you could get him on your show, that would be brilliant. I mean, there's lots of others. All, you know, yeah. I've been really lucky with the speakers that I've had. I really like having good content, and I think people in the room come away either with a couple of practical hints or tips, or just a better way of seeing the football ecosystem from somebody else's eyes that they're probably not party to. Yeah. You know, so. One of my big things is having this sort of 360 view of the football business, not just a tunnel vision of this is the agent's view. You've got to understand how the clubs operate, how the sporting directors operate, how it actually works, how the scouts and the people in recruitment. Data is a big thing now, you know, so you've got to have this 360 view if you're going to operate in an effective manner in the game.
Yeah, and you've got one coming up soon, haven't you? Is there one at the Etihad?
Yeah. It's the third time we've been to the Etihad. It's probably my favourite venue.
Okay.
It's just really good, and the staff are really good there. Manchester's obviously a big sort of hub for football clubs and football people outside of London. I think Manchester's probably better than Birmingham in terms of, you know, you've got both Manchester clubs, you've got Liverpool not too far, and Everton, obviously. But then you've got a whole raft of clubs around that corridor that, you know, come along to the event. And Manchester's quite a good, you know, we get companies coming along to the event, guys, as well. So the first one I did in Middlesbrough, I was looking for the room, and I booked this room and agreed the figure. And part of the room, there was six boxes, glass boxes that you could, were in the room, but overlooking the pitch at the riverside. And I said, what's happening with those boxes? And the woman who was sorting out the venue sort of said, they're included in the price. And I was like, that's a bonus. Wow. A bonus.
Perfect.
And so I said, I spoke to Ryan and he said, why don't we get some companies coming in there? And when we sold the companies within a couple of weeks, the boxes, and that broke us even for the event. Oh, you know, brilliant. So we started inviting companies, and there's so many companies that are in that space, some of the data companies, like we've had StatsBomb, SI Sports, Drib Lab. There's a lot. I'm probably missing some out. But there's lots of other companies that operate in that space that are sort of in they want to speak to sporting directors, they want to speak to clubs, they want to speak to agents, they want to speak to sports lawyers. So getting them in the room as well is really good. We've got two of the guys who it's Premier Relocation, they do the football players' removals. So, what a business that is. Andy Wells. And I think if I'm right, I'm sure John Terry has some interest in the business, but Andy Wells is like the mover to the stars, you know. So, But it goes hand in hand, doesn't it? If you're transferring a player, he's going to have his stuff. But, you know, yeah, you're going to move a lot. It's a great business to be in because they're moving around a lot, you know. So,
yeah.
And they've been really good supporters. As have Miller Insurance, who do the, like, career-ending injury for players and things like that, insure players. And that's another interesting. So all of these sort of other companies, other industries that are in that ecosystem are important for the Football Transfer Forum.
Yeah, and so what are they? So they're in those boxes and at these events. And what is
we don't have them in boxes now. We just have tables. It's like a room where there's lots of tables. It was just the boxes were at Middlesbrough, which we had an open sort of door policy. So we have tables set up for networking. So we have some sort of a speed dating session. We have some informal networking, and it's sort of so the speakers is important. But the networking is important. And if, you know, from our event has a massive buzz around it. If you come into we tried to do some recording during like a networking session, and it was just, you could just hear the buzz of people chatting and making new contacts. And that's the key, you know, go away from the Football Transfer Forum with 20, 30 new contacts that are going to be really useful. And maybe build relationships that aren't just transactional relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, like now it's been great for me to build my network as well, because some of the clubs don't see me so much as an agent now, more of, oh, Tony does the Football Transfer Forum, and it opens a lot of doors as well that way. And it's extended my network. And look, people who I've never heard of ask me if they can come and speak, you know, at my events. So that's really good. You know, that's another benefit of doing it. So the next one's at the Etihad. It's our 11th one. We're having the first day is the women's game. Yeah. So we had a panel at Newcastle to sort of open that idea up. It went down really, really well. We had one of the most prominent agents in women's football, Joe Tung, speak at the event. She looks after Emma Hayes, Michael Carrick, Leah Williamson. So Joe is helping with the women's game, the day that's totally devoted to women's football, because transfers and player wages are rising in the women's game, as you've seen. You know, the women's game's on an unbelievable trajectory, and you know, it would be remiss not to have a women's event within the transfer forum. So the women's game's the first day, and we've got some really good speakers, and then the men's game is the second day. Some people will do one or the other, some people will do both. And you know, a lot of the agencies now, the big agencies, have got a women's division. There's some agencies who've just only ever dealt with women's players and been doing it for 5 or 6 years and are now reaping the benefits, and good luck to them, you know, because it's not rocket science. You know, when you look at the product that women's football is, and we've had a really great example here up at Newcastle, they turned professional. As soon as they turn professional, guess what? The standard of play goes through the roof.
Yeah.
The standard of fitness goes through the roof. The standard, everything, you know, it goes from being an amateur sport to being, you know, I was at one of the women's games at Newcastle, and the Newcastle side are really good. I really, you know, you watch them, and some good skills, some great goals. You know, there was a bit of a mismatch of the teams on the game that I watched, but you know, you can only beat what's in front of you. They're technically very good. Yeah. You know, they're very fit. And that's got to bode well for the future. You know, there's a lot of hurdles to jump through for the women, but the women's game has a chance to be a better product. And don't misquote me there, because, you know, men's football, if you watch, I don't know who your teams are, Crew Alexander against... No. If you watch Real Madrid against whoever...
Yeah,
you know, some of the skills and the ability level and the speed of which the players are moving and passing the ball is just incredible. but the women have a chance to create a better environment for fans and a better match day experience, and the women players have a chance to be close to their fans than the men's players, you know, where clubs sort of dominate. So it's a really interesting time. I don't know which way it's going to go. And I hope nobody sort of thinks the women's product, the women's product is behind the men's, but the men have been professional for 100 years. Eh?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you've got a lot of catching up to, but so, as you said, there's so many opportunities for the women's game to be, you know, more sustainable, better for the fans, as you said, you know, match day experiences, yeah, and do things differently because it's not been done before. So why not be those sort of like trailblazers, I guess, as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see that one weekend a crowd goes and sees the Newcastle men, 50,000. One weekend they go and see the women, 50,000. Now, there's a load of practical issues around that, and how do you deliver that, the pitch and this, that and the other.
Yeah.
But for me, that's the aim, that's the goal. If you can have two fantastic experiences, and they'll be different, and there might be different audiences, but like I said, one week it's the men's, next week it's the women's, and big crowds, and you know, and clubs have realised that. I think most of the male clubs have either adopted or incorporated the women's teams if they weren't already. Mm. But they can see that may not be now that it's the money's going to be coming in, but in the future, once the TV deals and TV rights start, you know, happening, it could be another good arm to the business.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely agree.
Certainly will. Yeah, I agree. Can't let you go without asking you about the title race and what your predictions are.
I always back.
Just to clarify, we're Arsenal fans as well, so be nice to us, Tony.
to be honest, so I did a documentary last. Oh God, when was it? Watch the documentary. It's called Pep Guardiola Chasing Perfection, right?
Okay, yeah.
It's on BBC iPlayer, right? So I'm shouting that out to your audience as well. I've got a cameo in that. I've got a cameo in that documentary.
Oh, nice. And
because I had Pep at Man City on a trial, right, in 2005, right? So
no way.
Yeah. It's not wow. It's not a news. It's not a scoop, but have a look at that documentary. So I always back Pep because Pep is just incredible. Arteta is it's a bit like Star Wars, isn't it? He was the assistant, and then it becomes the rival and what. No, Star Wars is probably a terrible example, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
And Arsenal have had such a great season, and have they had a better defence ever for Arsenal than back to the Tony Adams days? You know, I think that's always been the Achilles heel of Arsenal. You've always had really great footballers, a great way of playing. You know, Arsenal did have the same hangover that Man United have. You have a supreme leader who's a manager, a coach, a sporting director in Wenger, and the same for Alex Ferguson, who does all those jobs. And then when they go, it's impossible to replace them. But I think what Arteta's done is fantastic. And I think whoever was the person that brought in those central defenders and made the defence more solid. I did have a goalkeeper at Brentford who was Ray's understudy at Brentford. And I was really shocked because I thought Ramsdale was doing decent. He was doing good.
Yeah.
I was really shocked they brought David Ray in. But obviously it seems to have paid off. Mm. I spoke to, there's some guys who do goalkeeper.com and they're really good guys, but they really focus on data. And Brad Friedel, do you remember Brad Friedel? What a keeper he was in the Premier League. He's part of goalkeeper.com.
Okay.
And they had the stats that sort of said, I think they had Ramsdale at 7 or 8 on the KPIs that Arsenal needed. So the key performance indicators that Arsenal need of a goalkeeper, which probably the top one and raise all over it is passing and what have you. There'll always be one or two things in a season where there's been a mistake made, and it's because of how the, you know, the passing out the back, but that always happens. Mm-hmm. But you can sort of forgive them for all of the balls that keep possession, that wear teams down, that are great passes and all the rest of it. And I think Ray was 3 on the key performance indicators. So they only improved by 3 or 4 places. But it's like that, you know, the Dave Brailsford thing, the marginal gains thing, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
You know, and for me, so I'm going City. I always go City, though. I watched the United-Liverpool game, and Liverpool is, you know, a sum team.
Yeah.
You know, the missing Alisson in goal, massively. Huge. Massively. But when you look at some of the players that Liverpool have got, some of the young players as well, you know, it's great. I mean, obviously you're focused on the Premier League, but the Championship's just as good in terms of a three-way finish.
Oh, yeah, the Championship's like, incredible this season, isn't it?
It's fantastic. Yeah. Well, I thought their signing of like Kiefer Moore was really good in the January transfer window. You know, it meant like, hang on, there was a few clubs in for him. It meant we mean business here. We've just come up and we mean business and we're going to try and do it again. I mean, is Ipswich going to be ready for the Premier League? You know, Leicester might be ready for the Premier League. You know, they haven't lost that many players. But again, and Leeds, my old team, Leeds United, you know, it'll go down the wire again, won't it? It'll go down the wire.
It could go the last game, I think.
I mean, it would be great if we get an Aguero moment in the Premier League for whichever team.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? Where like the game's finished at, I don't know, you must know who the Arsenal player last game of the season. Everton. Who is it?
Everton.
All you can hear is Kai Havertz. Yeah. You got it. 93rd minute. Come on.
Some game will have been stopped and they'll be waiting for the result and the players will be on the pitch waiting for that result to come in and hopefully. And look, for box office, when you think, you know, the Premier League. So going back to my days, Leeds was probably in, you know, in the top division when I left school. But that top division has now been, somebody else has bolted on a World League. Well, the Premier League is now a World League on top of it. So to make it in my day, you only had to make it to the Championship. And I still didn't do that. But now, if you're making it big, you've got to be in the Premier League, haven't you? And that's a World League that has been bolted onto our little island. And for me, back to a three-way gunfight at the end of the season, brilliant. Did I say gunfight there? That's not really a thing, is it? I suppose. But
we know what you
the
mean.
Fact that it's a horse. There's 3 horses coming to the final furlong. Yeah, right, that's a better analogy, isn't it? analogy. The OK Corral. It was only 2 sides, wasn't it? I think so.
Normally.
So the fact that we've got 3 means that the next TV rights, if it's like nip and tuck to the end of the season, people are going to be watching it, aren't they? They're not watching what's happening in Spain and Germany and Serie A or the French League. They're watching our league because it's so good. And this, you know, this battle is so, so interesting. And Arsenal fans, okay. Look, you've had a great... You tell me what you need to compete with Man City, because Man City have this massive strength in depth, don't they?
Yeah, I think we need a clinical striker. I think that's going to make a big difference. Someone that you know is going to get that 20, 25 goal, maybe 30 goals a season.
Yeah.
Because we'll chip in everywhere else still. We make we can create chances. As you mentioned earlier, we're absolutely solid as anything in the back now. I think we've got decent depth in midfield. 1 or 2 additions will be great. You know, I don't think Elneny is going to be the answer, is he, realistically? It's a bit of a drop off, unfortunately, with him. Great servant for the club, don't get me wrong, but quality wise, you know, Jorginho is not getting any younger.
Yeah. And look, Arteta will know what he wants, and the people in recruitment and the Edu, the sporting director, they're going to be tight together. You know, you might get the next Brazilian wonder kid, which would be great, wouldn't you? You know, that would be great.
Yeah, never know.
Yeah, and obviously it'd be interesting because the new regime at Liverpool, how are they going to do things and who are they going to bring in? And it's a chance for a stable club to build on what they've got and to, you know, go again next year, whatever the outcome of this Premier League running.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm just conscious of time for you, Tony, because I know you've got other calls. We'll call it a day there. Guys, I hope you've really enjoyed today's episode. Tony, massive thank you. It's been
fascinating.
I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll speak to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Will. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the FDP. Please, please like and subscribe on YouTube. It really helps us drop the pod. Follow us on X, Facebook and Instagram. Just search Football Drop Podcast. Please also email us your football stories and anything else that you want to talk to us about. We're at footballdroppodcast@hotmail.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Only football can make you feel like this.